guys, welcome back to my WWE podcast. Just wanted to recap Raw and SmackDown this week. I don't have a central talking point like I did in the first few episodes. We'll just walk through and I'll hit on some news items as we get going. So let's go back to Raw. I am not on social media, and admittedly, I have to let you guys know that the way I watch Raw is on Hulu the day after, which is a condensed version, so there are certain segments that I don't see. I'll just have to read about them, which is what I'm going to be doing with you guys today. So I just wanted to provide that disclaimer. If there's segments that I don't specifically speak of in great detail, it's because I didn't see them. I'm just reading what other people have written about them, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on them and then, you know, just basically regurgitate what somebody else said. Without being on social media, I didn't realize that there were rumors about Rhea Ripley actually being legit injured. At first, I'm watching this segment of her coming out, and it seems as though it's a work, or at least I know that she had recently been engaged, or not recently, but maybe sometime last year had gotten engaged. So I'm thinking, okay, they didn't want to have her lose the title at WrestleMania, but she's going to go away for a while. She's going to get married, go on her honeymoon. They've done this in the past. So I thought it was going to be a work injury angle. That way she keeps her momentum, and then it organically changes her baby face when she comes back without her having to leave the Judgment Day and making this whole long thing. That's what I'm thinking as I'm watching this, and then I come to find out that she's actually hurt. And they're using it in storyline, obviously. It actually, I'm going to go out and with a take that I think it's actually a blessing in disguise. I would never wish for her to be injured, especially at the top of her game as she is. But I do think it accomplishes a couple things. One, it accomplishes building up this Liv Morgan revenge tour idea. It gives it more substance. It gives Liv an edge, and it's almost like an eye for an eye. And I think she actually said that in her promo, Liv Morgan did. And it's crazy because I believe she got injured with a shoulder back in August or something to that effect. And it was Rhea Ripley who injured her with a chair. So it really kind of ties in nicely, even though it is a legit injury. But it does actually accomplish the things that I was thinking it was doing in the work sense, is that Rhea Ripley, we don't know how long she's going to be gone. Months, I think. I don't know if she'll be back by SummerSlam or not. But when she comes back, she will be a babyface, undeniably so. And then she also can have distance from the Judgment Day without having to have a falling out and having people choose sides between babyface, heel, all that kind of stuff. It also gives Damian Priest the opportunity to take the leadership role as the champion in Judgment Day without there being tension between Rhea and Damian. But now we can see if there's going to be jealousy from Finn Balor that had reared its ugly head back in the beginning of Damian's briefcase run where they were sowing dissension. That has since kind of been put away, but I can see Damian stepping forward as the leader since he's the World Heavyweight Champion, and Finn doesn't like that, and we see him start to turn on Damian Priest. Because I know, ideally, they want Damian Priest as a babyface. For some reason, I don't think he's going to be received as a babyface. At least I don't see him that way. But I do think there is some silver lining with this whole thing. I don't know. I believe they've announced there's going to be a battle royal for the women's championship. I don't know how I feel about that. There's obviously only going to be like four people in this battle royal that will have a legit shot. It'd be interesting to see if they go with a surprise name, like an unexpected name, like a Shayna Baszler or a Zoe Stark or somebody who's been just consistent. And, you know, I feel like as much as it's Liv Morgan's story with the connection with Rhea Ripley, I feel like it feels forced to have her win. And maybe this is just my naivete when it comes to wrestling because I haven't been following it for as long as some of you guys who may be listening. But I would like to see somebody else. Maybe Nia Jax, I don't know. But I would love to see a surprise name. Maybe then Liv has to fight for it or something to that effect. I don't know. I know Liv has gone almost the distance in the Royal Rumble, so they could use that as the impetus for her to go and last through the whole Battle Royal. But it'll be interesting to see what comes up with that, because it obviously shakes up the title picture significantly. The other big news was that Sheamus came back, and there was a lot of talk about the way he looked. He was in the longer trunks, different from what he has looked like that we're used to seeing on his Celtic Warrior workouts, etc. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. Like, it was obvious that he looked different. And from what I gather, his injury was actually pretty significant. Sorry, I got to plug my laptop in, so I'm just on the fly. His injury was pretty significant. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't able to train the way he normally was, but he was cleared to begin wrestling again. So he wanted to get back to work, wanted to make money. Obviously they get paid and everything, but I don't think it's worth getting into all of that. I saw that he responded to whatever the criticism online that he was getting, etc. I haven't watched that or heard what he had to say, but he had a match with Ivar. It was just a good kind of welcome back match. Wasn't anything to write home about. Then we had the new titles given to R-Truth and The Miz. They were okay. I definitely like them better than what they were. But I will say, having watched SmackDown, I'll get to it, I prefer the SmackDown tag titles that they've replaced. I think they're more classic. I mean, either way, the belts look more like a classic wrestling belt that you would see back in the Bruno Sammartino days, or more recently the Hulk Hogan in the 80s and Bret Hart in the 90s, etc. And then we had the number one contenders tag match, and the winners were DIY. I'm not surprised by this outcome. It'll be interesting to see how they pull this off, because we had DIY and the Awesome Truth kind of tagging or teaming up going into WrestleMania as babyface teams. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here. Then we had a tag match, which I didn't actually see. Maxine Dupree and Ivy Nile, Andy Hartwell, Candice LeRae. This storyline's been going on for a while. I know a lot of people are pleased that there is actually some storyline involving the female wrestlers that doesn't revolve around the title, which I agree. I think they're doing a better job of creating stories as opposed to just fighting for the title. This is kind of take it or leave it. It looks like Indy Hartwell is now going to go heel along with Candice LeRae. The fact that it's not on the condensed version of Raw kind of tells you what they think of it from a storyline perspective. It's not, unless it gets really hot, it's not gonna crack into the main crux of the episode. Andrade Dominic Mysterio, we haven't gotten an answer as to who attacked Dragon Lee. We all know it's probably Carlito, but we'll see about that. We had Andrade beat Dom Mysterio, which is not surprising. You're trying to build up Andrade, and Dom can afford to lose without losing any credibility as a chicken poop heel, as they say. A lot of fresh faces they're trying to get on there. There was another tag match. They're really emphasizing the tag division, which is cool. Caden Carter, Katana Chance, Piper Niven, and Chelsea Green. And the heels actually went over in this match, which is good. You got to have heels win occasionally. Especially even if they're heels that aren't like dominant heels like Chelsea Green, but to give them extra heat, you got to have them go over babyface teams every once in a while. Cody Rhodes came out and basically implied that he is on his way to SmackDown, and made a couple dad jokes, which was funny. I enjoyed it. Kind of anoints Jey Uso as the new babyface. That ties in with the story that Becky Lynch confirmed that Seth Rollins had knee surgery coming out of WrestleMania for a torn meniscus. So I believe the fact that he was limping significantly at the end was for real. I think he really, once again, I'm glad The Rock and a lot of people have given him his flowers, probably from listening to my podcast last week. Just kidding. But he really laid it all on the line. And now he's taking some much needed time off. Hopefully he's getting better, healing up, resting, and spending time with his daughter. I think that would be great. And then Becky also having some time away, just so they can rejuvenate and figure out what they want to do next. But all that to say, Jey Uso is now probably the hottest babyface on Monday Night Raw, Sami Zayn as well. So you're trying to give them opportunities to shine, and Cody being there and doing that, giving him the rub, as it were. And that led into a match between Uso and Finn Balor. Uso actually won. Finn Balor, I feel like I've heard him. He seems like a very selfless guy, humble guy. He doesn't really feel the need to have a title run again, which is kind of interesting. He's fantastic. He's funny. He's fun to watch. He seems to just love being a heel. And to have Jey Uso go over Finn Balor, that's credibility right there. I'm kind of just skimming through this. I hope you guys don't mind. It's more about getting my feet under me. And I want to have consistent podcasts, even if they're not super in-depth or super thought out, just because I think it helps to have that consistency. And it gives me the reps, so hopefully I get better at this. Then we had the main event, which was the Sami Zayn-Chad Gable match, which we've had leading up to. You guys know my thoughts. I feel like Chad Gable should have been the one to dethrone Gunther. They're going in a different direction, and they're making it very interesting, I will say that. Sami Zayn having this great training period with Chad Gable. The way they did the interview with Chad Gable in the ring with the Creed brothers, which seems to be a foreshadowing there. We'll talk about that. Where Gable says, because I trained him, I know his weaknesses, which is a very smart and cunning thing. It's not necessarily a heelish thing, but it gives us that justification for how Gable could possibly beat Sami Zayn. And then the match was good. Even the way they did the ending where Chad Gable was like devastated that he lost, but then he raises Sammy's arm in the air. He doesn't just like, I thought they were going to have him, you know, be petty or petulant right off the get-go, and that's how they would do a heel turn. Obviously, this was in Montreal, so Sami Zayn is like the top babyface. But the way they did it, where they had Sammy go to his dad and his wife, and it was just really expertly done. Because you see the devastation on Gable's face, and you have the tieback of Sammy's family being ringside, and then out of nowhere you see Sammy get lifted off the ground while he's like hugging his wife, basically, and just Chad Gable goes to heel and does heelish things. But that begs the question, does that mean that the Creed brothers are going to turn heel as well? Now, we have a lot of babyface tag teams in the WWE right now. Just off the top of my head, DIY, Awesome Truth, New Catch Republic, Street Profits. I'm trying to think. There's other ones that I'm drawing a blank on. LWO. There's just a lot of babyface tag teams. And you do need some credible heel tag teams. And it would be interesting to see what a Creed Brothers heel tag team would look like, especially with Chad Gable. Would they just be like killers? Would they be like technicians and just pick you apart? Yeah, I think that could be an interesting... did I say that? Yeah, I did say that. Never mind. I was going to say the Street Profits. I already said the Street Profits. We have some... We obviously have a good amount of heel tag teams too, but I think it'll be interesting to see if the Creed Brothers can build a little more personality out of being heels, and we get to see them coming up. But this was all well done, and it's telling stories, pointing us forward to what's coming. I'm interested to see what happens between, if there's more with Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. Will they have another match at Backlash? I'm not sure. Maybe there'll be like a stipulation or something like that. Or will we get like a, it depends on what happens on Raw this week, but will we get like a triple threat match, not triple threat match, like a six-man tag with the Creed Brothers and Gable versus I just thought of something. Wow, that can't happen because Jay's going to be wrestling Damian Priest. I was going to say, it'll be interesting if Jimmy gets, I thought it'd be interesting if Jimmy were to get reunited with Jay. Anyway, I was just thinking out loud and now I realize I was stupid. But let's move on. We talked about Seth Rollins' injury, and surgery. I mean, then we had SmackDown. And I'll skim through this. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. You needed AJ Styles to go over in this match. I would have liked to have seen them protect LA Knight a little bit. I mean, he got poked in the eyes and then got the phenomenal forearm. But I do think we will get a rubber match at some point, and LA Knight will win 2 out of 3. But we needed to set up AJ Styles as Cody Rhodes' first title defense. Styles can afford to lose. He's a heel right now. And there's a lot of good story with their history, the Bullet Club and everything outside of the WWE. I'm not an expert on that, so I'm not going to pretend to act like I know what all that is. So that match was good, a good start. LA Knight is over at like Rover, and it shows no sign of slowing. I would love to see him have gold sooner than later. Let's go. Hopefully they start building a story. This AJ Styles one seems like it's running its course, and it's been going on forever. I mean, it's been going on since I want to say after Survivor Series. So it's been a long, long feud. We need it to end. We need to see LA Knight in something else. I'd like to see more. I saw Jim Ross making comments about LA Knight, and I love LA Knight, and I kind of agree. We need to get a little bit more about him as a person and what motivates him. Back when he turned babyface against The Miz and he was telling stories, I felt that was some fascinating stuff. You got to hear about the fact that everybody was calling him an overnight sensation, but he had been doing this for 20 years and was finally seeing the fruits of his labor. I think that we could hear more of that, and I would love to hear more of that side of LA Knight. So we had the reveal of the new tag team titles. These are the ones that I think are amazing. I think the fact that they're getting away from that garish WWE logo and they're building the belts to look like something like jewelry, something that someone would have prestige. It's having the title that says Tag Team Wrestling Champions on it. It really is a throwback to the era that I started watching when Legion of Doom were the tag team champions, the Nasty Boys. It's a throwback to that type of belt, and I really love it. I love this one more than the one on Raw. But yeah, just a great job. I really like the decision to have Austin Theory and Grayson Waller as tag team champions. I think they'll win a couple matches in heelish ways. Give these belts a little something before you have them change hands. Trying to think. I'm just skimming through here. Carlito versus Santos Escobar. Again, we didn't get any furthering in the story. This story seems really strange. We just keep seeing Legado saying it wasn't them who hurt Dragon Lee, and there wasn't any moving the ball downfield. We had Santos go over. Carlito is kind of an anomaly. Like, I don't feel like he has been given the opportunity to show anything since he came back. I would love to see him as a heel. I think the charisma bring with the apple and everything. But this match was just, it was what it was. There wasn't a lot going on. And then Bayley versus Naomi was a good main event. We had Damage Control there. We had, I don't know, I'm loosely calling them the Perfect Storm, which is Bianca Belair and Jade Cargo. And then Tiffany Stratton interferes at the end of the match, so we have a no contest. Setting up, I guess, a Tiffany Stratton Bayley match. I can't really tell because we already did Naomi Tiffany Stratton. It'd be interesting to see if we have a Tiffany Stratton Bayley match at Backlash. It'd be a great platform for Tiffany Stratton. I did notice that they seem to have her. Not, I was going to say a little more covered up, but I know they had a couple of malfunctions on SmackDown last week, and I seem to notice that she had a little bit more protective covering, I'll say. Hopefully that continues. I don't see the need why the female wrestlers need to dress like strippers. That kind of takes away from it for me personally, because I don't need to be looking at that. I know it probably gets a lot of eyeballs on the product, but it feels unnecessary to me. You have these really talented athletes. I feel like we should move on from the era where they're also scantily clad. I don't know. That's just me personally. You can criticize me for shaming or whatever, but that's not the point. Anyway, that was SmackDown. And I'm just trying to see what we have. Sorry if this was a really boring episode. I just wanted to finish with this. There was a number of wrestlers that were released. Jinder Mahal, which is kind of sad because he kind of had a little bit of a moment in the sun back at the day one. Raw, where they announced a returning champion, and he came out and cut a great promo, like a really good promo. And then The Rock obviously comes out and embarrasses him. But because of that, they had the whole, the Don't Hinder Jinder movement, got him a title match against Seth Rollins, which unfortunately Seth Rollins hurt his knee in, but it wasn't through any fault of Jinder Mahal. It was a kind of a freak thing. And then for him to go away, it's unfortunate. I don't like people losing their jobs, especially when it's something they're passionate about. And then also Veer and is it Sangha or whatever? All of Indus Shur was released. Xia Li was released. And then I believe there's a fifth person. I'm trying to see who it was. See if I can find it. Oh, and Zion Quinn, is that his name? I saw him in a main event match when I went to Raw back in November 2022. went to a Raw in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and he had a main event match against Akira Tozawa, I think, something like that. But I actually saw him wrestle. It was fine. I feel bad for these folks. Hopefully they land on their feet. But yeah, that's that. That's all I have, really. I know there's not there's not a lot. I just wanted to recap what's been going on. A lot of interesting stuff. Oh, I neglected to talk about the developments with the tribal chief. I mean, I'm stupid. This is really fascinating. I love the direction they're going with Solo. It came out on SmackDown again. They attacked Kevin Owens. This was as a result of what we saw last week, where Kevin Owens kind of was rubbing it in that they didn't have their own locker room anymore. And blood has returned to the WWE, which we saw with The Rock and Cody Rhodes before WrestleMania. We see it again with the, I guess it's the car accident that actually led to him, to Kevin Owens being bloodied, which was revealed later. But seeing this new direction of the bloodline is really fascinating to me. I'm sure there's going to be a third member added. A lot of rumors are that it's going to be Jacob Fatu. That remains to be seen. But I love seeing Paul Heyman in this uncontrolled environment where he is no longer like hero worshiping Roman Reigns. He is out of fear following Solo Sikoa, self-preservation and stuff. It's really interesting, and I'm really liking these stories. Sometimes I feel like Paul Levesque is doing a great job of retraining us for the slow burn stories. Long term, people, wrestling fans have been saying long term storytelling is where it's at. And then week to week, you might be like, oh, this didn't feel like anything really advanced. But little character traits are coming out, things are being revealed, and it pays off over time, which is why, going back to WrestleMania, the right call was made. Everybody keeps acting like, oh, Cody Rhodes' run is going to get stale. The right call was made because you have to show your fans that you will pay off these storylines that they're investing in. And you have to have the confidence that if you pull that trigger, you can then build a new story that's just as captivating. You can't do an NWO thing where it just beats it into the ground and ruins a company. So I love that they're doing this. I love that they're the breadcrumbs. There's also the rumors about the Wyatt Six. Maybe we can talk about that next week if there's any developments. But you're seeing the little Easter eggs pop up, similar to when Bray came back, which I really think this is a cool way to honor him and his legacy. So with that, thanks a lot for tuning in, and I hope you'll come back next week.